all of us here at Beyond FM celebrated our asses off last year for a one-year anniversary. So we thought this year, we're going to do something a little more mature. Nah.
July 17th at Red Flag. Tower 74 and Beyond FM present the Beyond FM Birthday Bash. Starring Inimical Drive.
I stand fighting and I set this world on fire. Burn it down as the ashes rain will start it all over from the ground.
Outrun the fall. Advance tickets on sale now for $15. Get $5 off checkout when you use promo code BeyondFM. Get your tickets now at Tower74Concerts.com. This is the Beyond FM Birthday Bash, July 17th at Red Flag. Brought to you by Beyond FM and Tower 74.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another episode of the show. Today's feature is Atomic Junk Shot. Had a really good time meeting them at their rehearsal space and hanging out, talking about what the band's been up to, some of their history. And we share some new tunes, some live recordings that they did over at Gaslight on this episode. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis over in the Maplewood area. Swing by the shop over on Manchester. Or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, their junk powder, or any other fine products over there. You know, during the hot summer months, it may be tempting to shave, but did you know that having a beard can keep you cooler longer in the summer heat? Beards provide protection from UV rays and keep sweat off your face to keep you cooler longer in the hottest heat. Just make sure to keep your beard clean with Roughneck's house-made beard bar. All-natural soap with milled oats and African black soap cleanses amazingly without stripping away your natural oils. And if you do decide to shave it off, do it with American Rambler's amazing pre-shave oils and Miracle Tonic Aftershave. Either way, they've got you covered. You can find it all at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use that code RPP15 during checkout. Also, big shout out to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Shop HeilSound.com today and get yourself some brand new gear. Hey, and if you haven't heard, I got a big show coming up. My first show back since COVID. We'll be at Focal Point in Maplewood, Missouri for my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase August 21st. I'm bringing along Andy Sitto from Denver, Colorado, and Nick Gussman, Karen Choi, and Anthony J. Russo. So come on out to that show. It's going to be an incredible evening. It's BYOB. Bring a snack. Bring a drink. Have a great evening with us. It's an intimate listening room experience. Four writers sitting on stage with their guitars, telling stories and playing some songs for you. Tickets available now at the Focal Point website. Check out the Facebook event for details. And come on out to the show with us. With all that out of the way, you can find me, of course, at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email. rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com, any of the socials. I would love to hear from you. But with all that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new show with Atomic Junk Shot.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
You're listening to Atomic Junk Shot on the Rock Paper Podcast.
What's up, everybody? We're Atomic Junk Shot. You're listening to us on the Rock Paper Podcast. I hope that you enjoy it, and I don't sound like an idiot.
But mine was better.
Yours was better.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Miss Loretta said no drinking and coming home for six, but that's just what I did, and now she is my ex. I spent my share of evenings with Jim Beam and cheap wine, but now she is my ex. And I'm just doing fine. And I wasn't born quite yet. Well, Miss Loretta then was singing songs. It was her first hit. But called Don't Come Home A-Drinking with loving on your mind, all the way to number one. A hit for quite some time. It was about an angry wife who's fed up with her man. Comes home horny every night, pretty well shit can. Growing up, I heard that song at least 1,000 times, but never learned the lesson. Sure pissed off my wife. Well, Miss Loretta said no drinking and coming home for sex, but that's just what I did, and now she is my ex. I spent my share of evenings with Jim Beam and cheap wine, but now she is my ex, and I'm just doing fine. In a Richmond bar, she should have had a clue, cause that night I went too far. Couple shots of whiskey, maybe 10 cold butts. Finally she just left me drinking all them suds. Stumbled to my truck, somehow found her place. Banged on her front door until she was awake. She opened up and I crawled on in, looking for peace. First and nearly every night, divorced me. Well, Miss Loretta said no drinking and coming home for six. But that's just what I did, and now she is my ex. I spent my share of evenings with Jimmy Man cheap wine, and now she is my ex, and I'm just doing fine. I like it all the same, liquor, wine, old beer. After work, I hit the bar, then I wanna go see her. Allegedly, I gather after a drinking fix. Ladies would just rather I don't come home for sex. Miss Loretta said no drinking and coming home for sex. But that's just what I did, and now she is my ex. I spent my share of evenings with Jimmy Man cheap wine, but now she is my ex, and I'm just doing fine. I'm just doing fine. I'm just doing
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Atomic Junk Shot. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for all those listening?
We're pointing at each other, seeing who should go first.
We're pointing at each other. So I am Lon Magenta. I'm the lead singer, and I play lead. Not lead. You play lead. I play rhythm guitar very poorly.
I'm Manny Jordan, and I'm the utility knife of the band. I play lead cello and lead banjo.
Because everyone should have a lead cello.
Right. My name's Joey Mack. I hit things with sticks because I wasn't good enough to play second cello.
Hi, I'm Hal Edwards, and I play lead guitar.
Hi, I'm Clay Mudd. I cover the low end on the bass guitar.
Yeah, man. This we've been having a lot of fun already. I stopped in, caught you guys rehearsing, and got to listen to some of the tunes and hanging out here at practice. And it's a lot of fun so far. We are already having a good time and a lot of laughs. But I thought it'd be fun to get to know a little bit more about you guys in this project and talk about what you've been up to. But so I guess you guys don't mind, take me back to maybe the beginning of what kind of how this project came to be and how you guys, you know, came to form this band and stuff.
So the band's actually been around for a number of years, but for a long time all we ever did was play in strip clubs and
right.
We played all over the place, like all over the country and strip clubs everywhere. And then the guy I founded the band with, Denzel Whitewell, he and our original drummer, Joey Balls, were in a really bad accident. They were training llamas, and they both lost all use of their limbs and their testicles. And as a result, for a short period of time, you know, band kind of fell apart. And then kind of we put the new lineup of the band together. And all these guys came on board, fortunately, some at different junctures. Clay and Joey joined more than a year ago.
Yeah, about 18 months.
Yeah, and then Hal came on last summer. Is that about right?
That is correct.
And then Manny came on a little bit afterwards, like last fall. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, and you know, when really when Hal came on board, he and I had a conversation about, so, you know, initially when we were, the band initially was something like a country rock version of Tenacious D. The lyrics I was writing were more biting humor oriented, definitely off color. And, you know, when Hal came on board, we had a really good conversation about kind of where culture has gone in the last couple of years and how humor has changed, and how the bar has really moved. And so as a band, we made a kind of a distinct effort to change the direction of the kinds of songs we were, you know, putting together and writing lyrically. And it began to be more about life experience, and just the different things that, you know, I typically write the lyrics, and then we all tend to write different parts of the compositions. But lyrically, you know, everything from, there's certainly still a kind of a biting sense of humor, just because I've always been a huge fan of people like David Allan Coe. And you know, I still have this passion for bands like Tenacious D, but I started thinking about more about just my life experiences, things like my dysfunctional upbringing, my alcoholism,
time in Topeka.
My time in Topeka, yeah. You know, getting Clay's time in prison in Texas, just stuff that was more meaningful. And ironically, you know, Joey always reminds me that I love to write songs about songs. Yeah. And because there's so much music that I really hate, in particular, like pop country music. And so I tend to actually write a lot of songs about music that I just absolutely hate. Which is why we have a song called Hate Your Favorite Song. Or really, it's called Your Favorite Song. But yeah, so that's... And this brings us to today. Like, we haven't played as a full band in 18 months. Right. We played off Broadway in February of last year. And so, you know, this summer, we've been booked to play a bunch of shows as a full band. And I know that this group, the five of us, have such... We've built, I think, in a pretty short period of time, a really good chemistry, and it's so exciting. Just to, like we play songs now, and like we'll finish one song, and I'll just, you know, I'll be like, "Fuck, that sounds so good," because it's so good to hear that the full sound now again. Right. Just because we haven't been able to do it because of COVID, it's been frustrating. So it's exciting that, you know, got all the different pieces of the band, you know, Eddie's Hal is a remarkable guitarist, and he brings kind of like a certain blues sensibility that we've never had before to it. And like Manny brings certain, this multi-instrumentation that we, with cello and banjo and guitar, that we never had before. And you know, and Joey's got a very unique drumming style, percussion style that is much different than our former Joey, who lost the use of his arms and genitals in that accident. But and then Clay's just old, you know. Wow. Having an old dude around is really like, you gain so much wisdom from that. I mean, do you know that he was a stunt double for Uncle Jesse on the Dukes of Hazzard? I mean, that's fucking cool. That's street cred right there.
I didn't know that.
Well, when I was looking on Craigslist for, you know, some gigs, and I clicked the wrong link. I thought I was clicking on a Garbanzo's cover band that was looking for a bass player, but it ended up being these guys. And I stumbled downtown, and I've told them I'll sit in until they find a permanent replacement, but I'm cool with that. They're understanding. And did you ask me a question, or did I ask you a question?
Okay.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
The other nice thing about this, you know, these five guys that removed me from it, you know, we're a rock and roll band, somewhere between a country and rock band. But these guys have really good funk sensibilities. Like, it seems like every rehearsal we have, we kind of break into a funk song. And I can't play shit for funk because I don't have any talent, but I can just start screaming and talk about hot tubs.
Yeah. That's all you need, really.
But it brings a really nice sensibility to the way when we're going through rehearsal of our songs, you find that there's a different kind of infusion in the where if our song begins that I write to where it ends up because of what these guys add to it as we're moving through it together and kind of creating something, you know, ultimately creating some piece of shit art that we like, and hopefully other people will.
But I guess that funk has to help with strip clubs, right? That's probably goes over well. Getting
and cocaine, yeah. That the cocaine was really good,
right?
The ensemble itself, it's made up of guys with a bunch of different backgrounds. And because we're not restricting ourselves just to outlaw country, we're not restricting ourselves just to modern country or rock or anything. It's borrowed elements from funk and borrowed elements from jazz, borrowed elements from blues, borrowed elements from country, borrowed elements from fusion, borrowed elements from
strip club
funk, modern folk, prison sea shanties, and the. When it all comes together, oftentimes we're not planning anything. This has been a great group to just have this silent connection of where are we going to turn the song to now. We do unplanned cutting to halftime, cutting to 6/8, builds and dives, and it's stuff like that where you really feel like a brotherhood in a band, and that came really quick with this group, and it's something I really appreciate.
I think a good example of that is, so I wrote this song called St. Pete Girl, and it's about the time that I lived in Florida twice, and it's about my wife and I had this thing called a St. Pete Girl, and someone who just spent way too much time in the sun, loved to smoke cigarettes, and was probably towing around like four kids. And I kind of wrote it as a country song, and then as a band, we're kind of going through it, and Joey adds this percussion to it that gives it this kind of like island feel. And then...
yeah, very Buffett-esque.
Yeah, and then Hal started doing this, I can't even replicate it, but he would take on the electric, on the lead, he would this kind of almost a scraping down the bring, de bring, de bring. And it just took the song to a completely different place than I had in my head, which was great. And then Manny added, we put banjo on it, and that added, gave it further depth. And then Clay was just there really to give it some age again. It was really, that's all we needed from him.
And eye candy.
But it was nice to see where it started and how everyone just kind of added something different to it that turned it into something completely different. And now when you listen to it, it just has this kind of, it's the kind of thing where you feel like you're at some resort in Hawaii and, there's some band there. We should all be wearing like Hawaiian shirts and, but it's cool. And it might not be exactly where I started with it, what was in my head, but I loved that everyone kind of added something different to it. And it became something far more unique than just, me creating some bullshit rhythm song that sounds like every other country song about, girls that used to strip at Mons Venus.
That old story.
Yeah, that old story. Greatest strip club ever, by the way, in Tampa. Yeah.
I don't know if I've been to that one yet.
It's remarkable.
I'll have to check it out. I guess there's probably a lot of interesting places along the strip club circuit to stop at. I know we got a few over here in the greater St. Louis area.
I think we've kind of made a sharp left, like dogleg left turn, Clyde, away from that. And now we're just focused on playing traditional clubs.
Yeah, right.
For at least 15 people, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, you like you said, there it was definitely like, I felt, I mean, I've kind of been following the group for a while through social media and stuff. And you're kind of talking about how it was a lot of kind of humor based, lyrics and things, but, definitely feel like, following, like looking at some of their most more recent, songs, there's definitely a lot of, a lot of sad stuff too. There's a lot of, like, you know, there's some stuff you put out on the YouTube channel that, some acoustic songs that I was listening to, and a lot of, like, really, like you're saying, pulling from personal experiences, and a lot of heartfelt stories that are coming through in these songs. And so, so I appreciate that too. Like, I mean, I like it all. I like having a lot of fun with it, but I also like a good story in a song that, especially something I can attach my own personal, you know, things to and stuff. So it's nice to hear when people sing a song or tell a story that I really, like, you know, I've been there. I know what that guy's going through and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, everyone has had something remarkably fucked up happen in their lives, and something bad has happened to them, and they've gone through some type of traumatic experience. And each of us have all had tough times one way or another. You know, recently I wrote a song about the death of my daughter, which happened back in 2003. And, you know, again, to your point, just kind of life experiences. And unfortunately, these guys have been tolerant of those life experiences that I've tended to write about. And or we've, you know, when I've wanted to write about something they've done, like Clay's lovemaking experience in prison in West Texas. So back in the day.
I mean, we can all relate, you know.
Yeah, but so. He fought him off. That's all that mattered. Fought him off.
You have to claim your territory, and then you have to defend it.
Yep. First day in, you find the biggest motherfucker, and you just take your lunch tray and you slug that guy across the face.
Or you put your pants on backwards and just either accept how fate is.
Some hot prison tips right here, guys. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody tuned in. Well, you guys, you were saying that, that, you know, it's been a while since we've been on a stage. So hopefully this summer we'll be able to do a lot more of that. Everything's kind of coming back around finally. And, calendars are filling up, like you're saying. So, well, what about as far as like, putting together a record? Is there plans of getting to do a studio and record some of these songs, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I think the hope is that we just, like, this group of five haven't played out, and we need to get out and play our music in front of people.
Yeah, road test songs.
Yeah, and I think I'm hoping personally, I'd like, you know, by mid to end of summer that we could go do like an EP of a couple songs, like maybe 4 or 5 songs. I mean, there's enough places here in St. Louis where we can actually record a good quality record. And, you know, we've got some people that we've talked to about producing stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely a goal to do that. I mean, we had a record back in the day when we first started that was basically sold at Sears stores and didn't sell anything. And, now you can't even find it except for in Japan, and it's on 8-track, and these fuckers at Sears, man, they were not cool to us. I can't even go in one anymore. Not allowed. I'm banned. Bastards.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah. How exactly do you go about getting banned from Sears? Like, is it just because of the record, or?
Yeah, I mean, there were some certain legal issues.
I think it was the lawnmower incident.
There were certain accusations that were made. Yeah, look, someone goes in there and they're drinking a 40, a Colt 45, and they're driving a lawnmower.
It's a reason why they put a barrier between lawn products and entertainment now.
To me, that is no reason. Just because, you know, when you drive over a few washing machines, Kenmore's, I mean, those things are supposed to be durable. They say, oh, the most durable washing machines made.
And who knew that they were flammable?
I mean, bullshit. Yeah, so anyways, I'm not allowed back in the Sears.
Their loss, you know.
Their loss.
Yep. My neighbor likes to drive around in his lawnmower like it's a vehicle. Like he likes to, I saw him drive it over the Walgreens the other day and made me laugh. And
you take his trailer?
No. Yeah.
I take my trailer. When yeah. I think
it's only good if you do that nude.
Right. I mean, yeah. It might as well have been. But yeah, he's got a little flag on it and he just drives it around like it's, and I'm like, this makes me laugh every time.
Did a zero turn?
No, it's yeah. Just a little, I don't even know. Just.
Maybe he's like stopping to see if anybody picking up a couple of bucks on the way to the store. That always works.
Yeah. He's an interesting character, though, that's for sure. But yeah, so yeah, hopefully we'll get this record maybe even on CD. Maybe, I don't know if a lot of A-Track got there anymore, but maybe this. Next album, we'll move into some different technology that could help.
Cassette tapes?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe cassette tapes.
What was the name of the album that was released in Japan? I don't remember.
It was called Unicorn Boners and Nipple Protection Service.
That's right. Okay.
Yep.
And what? Where did that name come from?
So it actually came from Cher. We had written a song that she hated, and she said, what the fuck? Is this like a unicorn boner and nipple protection service? And as she said that, her entire left cheek just fell off. It was really strange. And
you're like, there it is.
There it is.
That's the name.
Yeah, but it's going to be nice. Like, I'm super excited for us to I think I'm pretty confident that we've got enough songs, I think, for a full album that are good enough for it. And it's just finding the right producer that we feel comfortable with, that we all, you know, the five of us collectively like and shares our vision and honestly,
you know, right craft services too.
Yes. They've got to have like food, coffee, flowers, deodorant.
Salve.
Craft service is important.
Is it salve or is it salve? Do you use the L pronounced in there?
It depends on if you're from Southwest, it's salve. Out here, it's Sav.
It's Sav, okay. Yeah. But S-A-L-V-E, right?
Yeah. Sav. Oh, yeah, same spelling. Yeah, it's just the V is Sav.
Isn't that a light chicken gravy?
The L is silent. Sav.
Yeah, that works pretty good. Yeah. On my knees, it's like, they really do bug me sometimes when we have long rehearsals.
There you go. This is what you thought you were going to get, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. What's Sav? Sav?
Salve or salve?
It's like a cream. It's a salve and a lotion. They're different because lotion has water base in it, right? So a salve is like a wax or like a butter.
Yeah, it's beeswax.
Beeswax. It could be cocoa butter. It could be.
Well, the concoctions vary just depending on what you know. You can put honey mustard in it, and it's good on rye.
You can put Dijon mustard in there.
And it's good on rye.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to the song "Rub One Out," which is no longer in our catalog, but still.
Yeah, it's
What's
good to have
about?
A lot of things to mix and match.
It's about doing the dishes.
Rub one out.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was about Clay's time in prison and having to get rid
that's
of some roommates.
Dates.
Yeah, that was
prison
just in
dates.
Solitary.
You gotta rub one out.
It was only when I was in solitary.
Get rid of them?
Yeah. Back when you were in bovine husbandry school at TCU.
Yeah. Yeah, I still have some of those gloves.
I've been going around asking some of these questions for everybody, and what would be a dream dinner for this band? Who, say, you guys were having a couple people over? Who would be a couple of guests you would like to invite over to the house and for a nice evening, hanging out and have a nice conversation? So this question was inspired because like I was listening to Howard Stern and they had Foo Fighters on and Dave was talking about going over to Paul McCartney's house and Taylor Swift was there also and like they're all just hanging out and having like I'm like what a that's pretty cool night you know getting to hang with Paul McCartney so so who what if Atomic Junk Shot was having a dinner who would Who would you like to invite over?
I'm guessing from each of the five of us, you're going to get five different answers. And right. Eddie's, I got to stop saying that. And
who is it?
Yeah,
you can say it. You can say it.
What? Clay, why don't you start? We can just go around the circle.
Oh, okay. Well, I get to choose two people.
Sure.
Mark Twain and Phyllis Diller.
Solid choices.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong with either one.
Well, I'd probably go with John Mayer.
Knew it.
And then I'm gonna choose a non-musician here. I'm gonna go ahead and say Bill Murray.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Really good choice.
Bill Murray's really good.
He and Mark Twain are gonna get along great.
Oh wow. I don't even know. I'd be good with Hal's Ezra or Bill Murray. That's a great one.
But not John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Yeah, he's probably a little too sensitive for me. It's funny because there's certain political people I'd probably throw in there, but I really don't want to politicize anything. And next thing you know, I'm getting hate Smurfs thrown on my front doorstep. It's like dead Smurfs, literally dead Smurfs.
It's okay, you're moving soon.
Smurfette. No, yeah, Smurfette. Totally, Smurfette.
Smurfette and Bill Murray.
What's that?
And Bill Murray.
Smurfette and Bill Murray. Or if you could somehow get them to have a child. So the love child of Bill Murray and Smurfette, that's who I'd want. No doubt about it.
From a strictly musical side, I would love to pick the brain of Tim Alexander and like get an idea of his his style and all the bands that he's played with and toured with. And then
wasn't he the governor in Benson?
No, he was the drummer for Primus.
Oh, there you go.
Every member of the Flaming Lips, and not only do I want them to come to dinner, but I want them to plan the party. And I want it to be like an entire weekend long extravaganza, and I know they would be up for it. So if you guys are listening to this podcast, which you should be, because you should be coming to our next show, just take us up on that, because I want that to happen.
Big fans of the show.
I'm going to do one musical and one non-musical. I think following the trend. Non-musical would be Robin Williams.
Dead or alive? You want his corpse there or not?
Oh, God. It's a fair question.
In full Mrs. Doubtfire regalia. So alive.
Alive, okay.
Hello! And being the cellist, I think Yo-Yo Ma would add some interesting dynamic to the group.
Yeah. That's quite the party right there.
Yeah.
Who's catering?
Chick-fil-A.
No, because then we couldn't do it on a Sunday if we wanted to. Noise.
All right. So the day comes, we have an Atomic Junk Shot biopic. Who would you guys like to see cast to play you in the movie version?
Oh, yeah. Nick Cage, motherfucker. That's right. Nick Cage.
That's it? Just Nick Cage?
All of us.
Yeah.
Nick Cage.
I can't do any better than
Look,
that.
Look, have you seen Face Off? Right. He's got range.
No, for me, it'd be Nick Cage, definitely.
This Nick, it's like a... Nutty Professor or whatever, or Meet the Clumps or whatever, like where you just Nick Cage and all characters. And
I think Joey, what's that guy, Hector Elizondo? He's a Latino actor, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen him in a ton of stuff. He'd be great, man. He basically looks like a Latino version of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like older.
Bald head and all?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But he's got a beard.
Huh.
I think his name's Hector Elizondo. I think he might have been in like Miami Vice. Maybe. Actually, you know who else would be awesome to play me? Billy Dee Williams. That's right. Every time.
Works every time.
Fuck, that'd be awesome. What about you, Hal? Who would you want to play you?
Randy Quaid.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Randy Quaid.
I know who I want. Clint Howard.
Who's Clint Howard?
Yes.
You know, yes. Clint
He's
Howard.
He's in every Ron Howard movie. It's his little brother who's like the bald guy with the big goofy smile.
Yeah. Oh, that guy, yeah.
So I'm not a handsome man or I have a fully functional brain or, you know, like...
Clay, who would play you?
Oh, without a doubt, John Malkovich.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And actually, he's got a beard like yours now. I've seen it.
So does Randy Quaid.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So does Stella Getty before she died. She had a beard a lot like that. Ooh, that's another person who I would love to play me. Betty White. That'd be sweet. Yeah. I'd totally be down with that. Betty White playing me.
So either Betty White, Nick Cage... or Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hopefully one of them are available.
Yeah, or all three in within the same film in different roles. Like
different stages of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Betty White would be a young me. Billy Dee would be like, 20 to 40. And then Nick Cage would be like 40 until I die at 43. Be sweet.
It'd be like that Dr. Parnassus vibe where like they're just a part of your dream sequences.
Yes. Like Total Recall in the end of the original Total Recall, when you don't know if the whole thing was a recall or if it really happened.
I just remember the breasts in that, the three breasts.
Yes.
That's all I remember.
That's all you need. Well, yeah, are you listening, Hollywood? Let's make that movie happen.
That's good. I think we'd be better off as a series. And each song defines a series. I think it'd be better off as a programmatic series than a movie, I think.
Yeah, it's like a 5-season arc.
Yeah. 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 Well, it'd be great, man. Like, If She Smokes, She Pokes would be about science.
Yep.
Totally. Right on.
All right. Okay. And then along with the biopic, we decided to release a limited edition Atomic Junk Shot action figure box set. What would be two accessories to go with your action figure?
A single drumstick and crippling guilt.
Mine would be a tank top that says sleeves are bullshit, and which, by the way, you can find on the Atomic Junk Shot website at atomicjunkshot.com or floridageorgialionesucks.com. My second one would be just an endless supply of bacon, just like carrying bacon, like a strip of bacon. You know, so it's almost like...
Oh, maybe there's like a bacon dispenser in the arm, so you like pull one out and another bacon comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. Bacon.
I need that technology.
Yep. Bacon tanked up. Or tanked up made of bacon. Fuck yeah. It's America.
I don't know what I would bring. I'd probably have nothing because I am unable to make decisions about anything in this life. So I would just...
How about you want me to choose for you?
Yeah, choose for me.
Eyeglasses that say, I am Jeffrey Dahmer, and a headband.
Would work.
But you need a guitar. But you know what? Your guitar doesn't define who you are.
That's right. My anxiety and depression defines who I am.
So like a pill. It came with pills.
Just doubt. I'm just always just in doubt. Just
yeah.
Left-handed antidepressants.
You've never met two guitarists in one band that are as like medically we're not met. I want to say we're medicated, but we're actually by doctors, not...
Yeah. For myself, I would just say emotionally inadequate. That's what it would be.
Oh, man. I'm a train wreck.
Well, my box would include a saddle and handlebars.
Are they connected?
Well, there's an option of microwavable baby oil, too.
Does the saddle have like a hump in the middle?
It's got both a groove and a hump.
Groove and a, you know what? That's
a couple of them actually.
I think in today's world, you know what?
It's what the handlebars are for.
Non-binary. Thank you.
That was going to be my question. How are they? Are they linked in any way? The handlebars and the saddle. Do they work in tandem? Do they?
It's all connected.
Okay.
It's all connected.
So it's kind of like it's how you like know that. You've got to know that. Banana bikes. Like those old Schwinn bicycles with the banana seat and the big handlebars.
Gorilla hangers.
Or I guess you know. That's, I'm, yeah. I guess you could say.
With a sissy bar on the back. Cool.
I do like the riding mower. Nude.
If there was something you guys could get into the Guinness Book of World Records for, what would it be?
Listening to my wife.
I don't even know what that means, but I like it.
Quietly listening to my wife.
A gig with the lowest turnout.
We've got that beat. I believe that's called Halloween. Halloween 2020.
The longest sequential boo from a cloud from a crowd in a stadium setting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that the same gig?
What's that?
Yeah, sure.
Well, people weren't there. There wasn't any people there to boo. So, no, that was a separate gig.
Gosh, if nobody shows up to a stadium gig, that'd be depressing.
mine would probably be the most bacon-enriched outfit in history. Yeah. Fully baconized.
But you would need the sleeves in, right?
Maybe. It depends what's in the book right now.
Right. So would you like staple bacon to clothes, or would bacon take the place of
it would clothes? Be knit out of bacon. So there would okay. be bacon, and then you'd actually have to like sew thread, you know.
Through it, yeah.
Yeah.
Crispy soft or in between.
Oh, soft. Well.
Except for the nipple.
Except for the nipples. That would be crisp, yeah. Nipple, yeah, in the jungle region. Oh. Yep. Jungle.
What's a song you wish you wrote?
Wow. Besides Anything by Neil Sedaka? Wow.
Get Rhythm by Johnny Cash.
The Ride by David Allan Coe.
Probably.
I can't wait to hear you. It's gonna be someone I've never heard of.
Oh, probably either There Were Sparks by Hills X Hills or or The Valley by the Oh Hellos.
Oh, those are them I've heard of.
Probably St. Pete Girl.
Thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
What would be a dream duet or collaboration you guys would love to see for the band?
Wow.
Oh, definitely the Foo Fighters.
That'd be badass.
Or yeah. The Foo Fighters and John Mayer.
And John Mayer, yes. Yes, of course. Maybe a little Lady Gaga.
Hmm. Can it be dead or alive?
Yeah, sure.
So, the late Leon Russell, him playing like a Hammond B.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
great choice.
On like Down with the Devil or something like that would be really cool. You know, adding just like good gritty keys, like not like bullshit synth crap.
I got to see Leon. With St. Charles at the casino there and stuff, and it's pretty cool. He played like a full set, and then like if it was encore, he just like stands up, waves, and then sits back down, does one more song, and like I was like, that's all you need, like just like you know, I don't have to walk over here and
no
act
theatrics,
like I'm gonna come back and
yeah.
stuff, like just say, all right, here it is, one more song, and like and
yeah.
So
if you listen, like. You know, I'm a huge fan of the band. And if you go back and listen to their music, they actually had two keyboardists in the band. And just some of their music does such a great job of kind of infusing Americana music with you know, analog keys. So yeah, having someone who's just a very eloquent yet funky pianist, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. And I think with the technology, you know, obviously you see like Tupac still putting out records and stuff. Like I'm sure we could probably pull some of those files from Leon in the studio and put it to an Atomic Junk Shot song. So
totally.
Yeah. Make that happen.
Yeah. Postmortem collab with Wesley Willis.
There you go. Let's make that one happen. Do you guys do any celebrity impressions?
I don't know. I mean, what do I do?
You do Borat.
He's nice. I like. He's very nice. I have been known to prance around in the Borat mankini. He's so nice. I like to. I take my finger and put it inside of you. Enjoy, Mac. You look smelly. I like. I don't know. That might be terrible. I did it in front of 400 people who were all in suit and ties, and they didn't know what the hell to make of me. That was cool. They were really uncomfortable.
For charity.
Yeah. Well, all right, one more. What's a song that always gets stuck in your head?
Gypsy by Fleetwood Mac. That is like the essential closer guitar solo, in my opinion. It's hard to find something that beats that.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, American Girl by Tom Petty. It's one of my... I absolutely love Tom Petty.
Yeah. I've been Crawling Back to You has been on repeat a lot in my head for the last couple of weeks. I don't know why. I heard it and just got stuck there, and it's a great song.
For me, it's a tie. Vultures by John Mayer and St. Pete Girl by Atomic Junk Shot.
Those two that's playing at the same time.
Yes. So. Yeah. And they don't sound similar, so it's chaos. It's chaos.
I will say, one of the best feelings of the world is when someone says, they like see a video of us play, and they say, that song was stuck in my head for the rest of the day. That is a phenomenal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's only because it makes me wonder what the fuck is wrong with them, but still, it's a really good feeling, the three times it's happened.
Well, Spanish Moon by Little Feet. Once I get that in my head, it's days.
Oh, you know, I forgot. I forgot. Willin' too. Willin' by Little Feet. Oh, man.
How does that go? I can't think of that song.
Willin'?
Yeah, it's like a little folky G.
This is the beginning. Spanish when you're saying
Spanish? No. Spanish Moon Spanish. Is more of a da 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 da.
Is it an instrumental song or?
No, it's got lyrics.
Yeah, just a Spanish Moon over and over and over again. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about a guy who's such a fan of a singer that he sells his watch and his ring just to buy a ticket to hear this girl sing.
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
I think Little Feet.
At the Spanish Moon, she was performing. So.
If Lil George had not died, Little Feet would have gone down as like one of the great bands in history.
Oh, yeah. They are Jimmy Page's favorite American band.
Put that in my bio. That's what. Jimmy Page's favorite band. Well, very cool, guys. This has been a lot of fun getting to know a little bit more about you guys and the band. And again, you can hopefully get plugged in with Atomic Junk Shot on your Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And hopefully we'll have some more dates coming up very soon, so you can come out and see a live show, and hopefully some updates on a new EP or album coming soon, and a lot of things happening this year, so I'm excited for see what's next for the project. But appreciate you guys doing this, hanging out today.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, thanks so much for
thanks for coming by.
Next time, if you could wear clothes, that'd be great. This has been super uncomfortable for everyone.
I mean, like, you know, just spread eagle on this couch right here. So
it's impressive, but still uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. Now I'll make sure to write that in my notes.
Wear clothes. Yeah. Note to self.
Yeah. Get wart cream for giant wart on ass.
The taintal region needs pruning.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.